books are, and we've learned a lot. I've enjoyed learning a little bit about some books that I was not as knowledgeable about, and we've learned a lot. It's been good. We're in the Minor Prophets. They're not minor because of the fact they don't have a minor, because they have a minor message. They're minor because of the size of them, but we've learned that they have a powerful message. And as we learn and understand the books of the Bible, we'll see God's purpose and plan for us too. We learn eternal, permanent values in each book. And that's the idea why this book is written, the purpose of this book, and the understanding of things we can apply to our lives. But we also learn a living truth, applicable, and we can look at and understand. The book of Micah, we'll give you a little preliminary information about it, and then we'll head right into the lesson part. There's a couple different theme verses, and we'll go over both of those, but the one I chose this morning was, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Now here in Micah 6, verse number 8, what you have here in this book, it talks a lot about corruption in government and corruption with leadership. And then in Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, it shows you what God requires of you. You say, I never know what God wants from me. I never understand what it is that God expects from me as a believer. And I love this verse because it says, "He hath showed me, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee?" What does the Lord require of thee? What is God expecting from us as the children of God and as the Israelites at this point in time? It says, "But to do justly." That means to do right and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessings on the lesson this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for everyone that's here. We thank you for the good crowd that's in Sunday school today. As we look at this book of Micah, Lord, we ask that you teach our hearts. Lord, show us the things you want us to learn from this book. Help us understand why it's in the Bible. Help us understand the purpose of it. And Lord, help us to learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Like we've done in other weeks, we don't want to just run right to the main topics, give you a little background information. The book of Micah's home was from Moresh Gath. I tell you, it doesn't like me, does it? That's okay. I can fix this, though. There we go. The man Micah's home is from Moresh Gath. This is located about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem, and it's near the Philistine border. He prophesies in the day of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, which are kings of Judah. Even though he was from this reign in this area of Judah, his prophecy not only is for Jerusalem, it also speaks of Samaria. Jerusalem is the capital of Judah. Samaria is the capital of the northern kingdom. He was a contemporary of Isaiah. His influence on Hezekiah is mentioned in Jeremiah. He's also mentioned in the New Testament being quoted. He was a prophet to Samaria and Jerusalem before the exile. We knew that the people of the northern kingdom was taken over by the Assyrians during this period of time. During that period of time, while he is actually prophesying, this happens. And Judah later on comes and is taken over by the Babylonians. So it gives you an idea of what time period and where this man was from. Another one that you would consider maybe a theme verse that you could use is here found in Micah chapter number 7, verse number 18. I love the little phrase where it says, "Who is a God like unto thee?" And you know the type of God we serve. He is the only true God, the one true living God. But you think of these different gods that different people worship and bow down to, the fear that they expect to be worshipped by. And you know, the God that we serve, the one and only true God, here in the book of Micah, he shows us four different things in this outline. And if you see that rest of the verse, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" What God pardoneth iniquity? "And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy." And if you're looking and asking for an outline, these are the four different things I would direct you to. It proclaims the future judgment for past sins. And you got to understand, judgment is a strange thing for God. God is a builder. God loves mercy. But when we sin, God will judge us because he is holy. You also see verses chapters 4 and 5 prophesying future glory because of past promise. talks about the promises that God's given us and that the future that we have here, pleading present repentance because of past redemption. And then in chapter number 6 and chapter number 7, parting all iniquity of who God is and what he does. So because this is who God is. So that gives you a little bit of an outline of the book of Micah. One more thing here we'll look at. There's many different predictions that are made during this book. Some that you'll be familiar with. The fall of Samaria is predicted. The invasion of Judah by Sennacherib is predicted. The fall of Jerusalem, the Babylonian captivity. That famous verse in Micah 5:2 talking about the birth of Christ. And we see the interval between the rejection and return of the king. All those things are prophesied hundreds of years. Well, some of it hundreds of years before it happened. Some of it actually happened during his lifetime. Difference between Isaiah and Micah. I know we went through Isaiah. He said, why in the world did they need more than one prophet back then? And you know what? That'd be like saying, why do you need more than one preacher today? So you need more than one. There was one more prophet. Isaiah, he lifted up the throne of the Lord. Everything that happened to him, everything he went through, God was high and lifted up. We remember in Isaiah chapter number 6 that he saw God high and lifted up. He compared everything that happened to this idea where God is lifted up. Here in Micah, he recognizes the place of delegated authority in the economy of God. He looks where leadership has been placed and how he deals with leadership, and mostly deals with the false authority and the false leadership that these people were living under. He spoke to princes, priests, and prophets as the representatives of the divine authority. Now, this book is something that's interesting because of the fact that in the day and time that we live in, there is much false authority. There is much corruption when it comes to government and comes to leadership. Now, you notice he covers all three different areas. He talks about princes, which is dealing with civil government, talking about rulers and leaders. He talks about priests, which is talking about a spiritual type of government, you know, someone like a pastor, someone that's in leadership and authority as a priest. And then you talk about a prophet and talks about the moral objective of the people that day. So, Pastor, where do we get to when we come to the book of Micah? What is it that we learn from the book of Micah? Well, the eternal permanent value is the unmasking of false authority and the unveiling of true authority. What you're going to see in this book in chapter number 3 in a second, you're going to see how that these men were corrupt. The princes were corrupt, the priests were corrupt, and many of the prophets were corrupt. And when God has chosen a nation or called a man, the truth of his government is made through the nation or through the man, either by its failure or success. Man is known by their fruits. If a nation can be obedient, there follows the revelation of the nation under the grace and tenderness of the divine government and the realization of all its highest and best. Say, Pastor, that's a lot of words. What do we talk about the nation of Israel? God made a nation, brought a nation out from Abraham. Through this nation, Jesus Christ was going to come. But he gave this nation a reputation in the book of Egypt. He brought him out of the land of Egypt. He took him through the Red Sea, was willing to give him all the promised land. So all the other nations around could see, if I was going to live for God, if this nation lived for God, that they could be blessed. All the other nations could see this. You know, if these men, these people that serve the one true God, lived for God, then they could realize that's what they should do too. They had a great opportunity, but we talked about this in the books of Judges in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. Instead of them influencing the nations around them, those nations influence them. It's just like us in our Christian lives. God gives us a testimony. God wants the world to see us as we live for God, be blessed and used of God, that we're a peculiar people for God, so the rest of the world can see us shining as a light. That's what he wants us to do, is to be a light in this world. And as they see the light that we are, then men will say, there's something different about them. I want to know what they have. The nation of Israel, I believe, was started and began and showed the rest of the world how they should be living. And he says, had Israel fulfilled the purpose of God in the midst of the nations, they would have seen her prosperity, in her blessing, how good and gracious a thing the government of God is. The reason why people do not want to serve God is because Christians today are not living the life that is actually showing the grace of God and the mercy of God through it. Instead, many times Christians today are living very, very poor lives in the idea of how they treat one another. Israel failed to bear that testimony to the nations. You say, okay, so then what is the message? What is their message through history? If the one government, if they're not going to obey and show the rest of the world how good it's going to be, when they disobey, you know what's going to happen? They're going to show the judgment of God. You read through the book of Micah, and you see how he is prophesying to the outside nations, but he's encouraging the outside nations to take a look at how God is judging his people because they were unfaithful. So let's get to these false authorities here. Let's look here in Micah chapter number 3. We're going to read here for a few verses, and we're going to look at these different false authorities. He completely unmasked this idea of this in this one brief statement in chapter 3, verse number 11. It says, "The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us." So what they're saying is the three different groups, the civil, which is referring to the princes, that would be our president or our leaders. The spiritual is referring to the priests, and the moral is referring to the prophets. Each of these three different groups are talking about how they are wickedly serving their positions. And in the end, they are saying, yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. As they were using their authority, their false authority, for their own benefit and for their own good, they were saying, look, we're God's chosen people. God would never let anything bad happen to us. And that's sometimes, I think, the dream world that some Americans live in today. You know, we have this great Christian heritage, even though they want to deny it. We have this great Christian heritage, and they says, we're America. Nothing can penetrate us. Nothing can hurt us. But I think that lots of people have been waking up to that just now recently, that there is problems and that things can hurt us. He showed us wherein lay the secret of the failure to rule in each case, and consequently, the secret of the corruption of the people over whom they ruled. Israel was turning wicked, but Israel's leaders were wicked. Israel was becoming more and more corrupt, but what was the problem? Was their leaders were corrupt. And that's what happens to a nation. They become oppressed when they have corrupt leaders. Let's look here. Let's read for a little while in chapter number 3. Let's look here in verses 1 through, we'll actually read the whole chapter here. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay the skin from off of them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as it for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. You say, what is those scary things it's talking about? It's talking about how the government oppressed the poor, how they treated the poor, how they were only interested in their own gain and how they could their own enrichment. Verse number 4, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets. He leaves those civil leaders. He begins to talk about the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace. And he that putteth into their mouth, they even prepare war against them. Therefore, night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? Now evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. What Micah is saying to this nation of Israel and to the nation of Jerusalem, yes, you're counting and trusting, thinking that you're God's people, nothing's bad could happen to you, but notice the wickedness that is all around you, and this the wickedness that is all around you. Guess what? This is what your future is. And in the book of Micah, we see here, let's look a little bit more at these different leaders. And this is an important part in the book of Micah, is these different leaders. Micah 3 verses 1 through 4 talks about the princes. And you see that first verse. It says, "And I said, hear I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is not for you to know judgment." You know what they're saying here is, if anybody was supposed to know judgment, if anyone was supposed to know right, it was supposed to be the leaders of that day. It was supposed to be the judges, the politicians of that day. And that's what they're saying here. It says, is it not for you to know judgment? And what they were doing is they were not being just. They were not being right. They were not treating people fairly. And I tell you, I know it's you think it sounds like a political message today because this is what it deals with, is corruption in the leadership. But boy, our judges today just don't know how to do things justly. It's just wrong. I think it's almost funny to think that the congressmen are checking on other congressmen for things that are right and truthful. You know, they're all corrupt. They need to have an outside unit to come in and look at them because they only care about one another. It's just kind of funny when one congressman calls another congressman dirty when that other guy's dirty too, probably. And it's amazing here. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? That we need to understand that our system only works, any government system only works, when leadership knows what justice is. And that's what it's saying here, is that, is it not for you to know judgment? And verse number 2, who will hate the good and love the evil. The amazing things here is these judges were judging for reward. They would, it's like going before a court case, and whoever the wealthy one would bribe the other judge. And when they bribed the judge, they would, no matter what was fair, no matter what was right, no matter what was legal, they would always go with the person who gave them a bribe. And that is wrong. You say, where does that happen at? Well, it's when our politicians today are willing to just do whatever so they can get their own back scratched, so they can get their own agenda progress future. They're willing to give in on things that they know is right and things that they know represent the people and could care less about anything else. You think about it. I saw on a poll this past week, it's 92% of the people think that if the government, if we or people are going to be forced to take I know they call Obamacare, the Affordable Health Act, that the government should have to do the same. The leaders, the senators, the congressmen, everybody. If everybody's going to have to do it, then they should have to go to the same exchange. But you know what? They don't want to do that. 92% of the people, if they took a vote of that, it would be over 90% of the people in the United States feel this way. But the government chooses to ignore that. Why? It's because they're interested only what benefits them. And that's what was happening back then. These leaders in that day, in that time, was interested in only what was going to benefit them. It's just wrong. Brother Barrett, do you have a comment? Well, you know, I think we're all someday is going to be, we have things setting up on a scene here, but right now it's just corruption in our own government. And I'm not saying that all the people are wrong and all the people are wicked, but people do not know how to do justly today. If someone can go out and kill somebody and get away with it after a couple years of being in prison, there's something wrong with justice today. It's gone, and what they've done, they've gone farther and farther away from the Bible. And when they get farther and farther away from the Bible, what's going to happen? They begin to hate the good and love the evil. The people that are standing up and trying to do what's right today and loves the good, loves the principle of the Bible, what happens to them? They're hated. They have tax audits on them. They cause things to try to get them to sit down and be quiet. And that's what happened in the day of Micah. That's when you see here in this chapter number 11, verse number 8, he says, chapter 3, verse number 8, "But truly I am full power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel." He says, all these other prophets are saying this. He says, but I am coming from the Lord. And I'm coming from the Lord to say these transgressions and these problems. Well, we need to keep on going. We could spend lots of times here. But the point was, the people in leadership would take bribes. They could be bought. Men who make it impossible for the poor and oppressed to find judgment and justice. You read the verses 2, 3, and 4. It shows that government oppresses those that are weaker and the poor. And the Bible is contrary to that. contrary to that. A corrupt ruler is one who exercises the office of which he is appointed, not impartially, not as a representative of the throne of eternal judgment, but for reward. And that's the problem, is when we have leaders that are interested in only their own enrichment. Next thing, you see the priest. Now, it wasn't just, and the problem in America today is not just the politician. There's a problem with the preachers of the day, too. And it says the priests thereof teach for a hire. That means they would tell the people what they wanted to hear if they could get something out of it. They wasn't caring about what the truth said. They didn't care what the law said. They cared about what would pay their bills. And you see here in verses, you say, Micah, you might say, well, the priests teaching, that's kind of weird. Well, you go back to the Old Testament law, back in the book of Deuteronomy, you see what the priests were also intended to do. I know you think priests, all they did was sacrifices. Well, here in Deuteronomy chapter 17, they were the spiritual leaders of the day. And thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge shall be in those days and inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of the place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they teach thee, according to the judgment which they tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not incline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand nor to the left. What they were saying is you should be able to trust your spiritual leader. What they say is the thing you should be able to do. But the problem is today, all across America, there are so many different spiritual leaders. There are so many people that call themselves men of God, and they're not rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what was happening at the priests today. They were looking for the next biggest and best thing. What could bring them the most money? What could give them the most comfortable lifestyle? And that's how they were going to live and work. And I got to be honest with you. When a pastor cares more about the finances than the well-being of what God's word says, he shouldn't be behind a pulpit. And so I try to tell you that, and the way I look at it, the church takes good care of me. They take care of my finances, and they take care of, and I appreciate what they do. But you can't hire a person, you can't really pay somebody to be a pastor. God calls them to do that. God is, they preach the word of God. They don't do it for hire. They don't do it for what they can get out of it. They do it because God's called them to do it. And that's where these priests got so interested in what they could get out of it that they changed their message. I know I was telling the men that our devotion time that someone came to Charles Stanley one time. This is a story I heard from a couple of different sources. And it says here, Zondervan, I think it was, said, offered him $1 million and said, I'll give you $1 million if you start using the New King James Version Bible instead of the King James so we can sell more Bibles. And now, once again, these are a couple sources I looked at. I'm thinking they were real. I didn't mean to mention his name, to be honest with you. But and they change, $1 million. And someone says, would you change that? I says, well, maybe he did not have a conviction about it, but I have a conviction about it. If I was going to change something that I was convicted about for money, I shouldn't be standing behind a pulpit. And it's just wrong. And I'm not picking on Charles Stanley. I didn't mean to mention his name out loud. I was just going to say a preacher, but because I don't know exactly 100% of the story is true. I've heard it more than once. But you can't, as a preacher or a pastor, you can't change your convictions and still be doing it for the right reasons. You got to live for God. And that's all. And that's what we need to all do. But the priests here, they were changing what they were teaching based off a hire. It's like someone coming to you and say, hey, is it okay to do this? And you know it's wrong in the law. And he says, well, you become friends with them. They start taking care of you. They start giving you things. Do you think it's okay now? They change their message because it's a buddy or a friend. Sometimes the word of God is hard. Sometimes it's tough. But it doesn't matter who you are. It's still the word of God. It doesn't change. Next thing I want you to see is the prophets. The prophets that day and time were the ones that would declare against the moral things of that day. Then we have the last description is the prophets there of divine or divin for money. Sorry if I've been mispronouncing it. I don't really know. But that word there refers to like sorcery type things. What they would do is they would begin to guess out in the future what they were going to do. And they were not proclaiming the morals of the day. Instead, they were doing for money. Look what it says here in verse number here. It's up here. It says, bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and he that putteth not in their mouths, they even prepare war against them. The people that would feed them dinner, he would say, God bless you. Let it be peaceful with you. But the people that would not put food in their mouths, those are the ones he would preach against and proclaim against. it's wickedness and it's wrong. But it happens today in the world that we live in. There's corruption all throughout the leadership, whether it be through the government or be religious circles or different things like that. The people that are standing up and trying to do what's right, and you know, they're fought against. You're gonna live. If you're gonna live for God, you're gonna face persecution. So when you're considering what type of church to go to, when you're considering who to vote for, when you're considering, look for those that are going to be close as possible to the Word of God. And the prophets were prepared to say certain things, certain conditions, just based off who was going to feed them. I'd rather die than have to change the message to get some food, because God's going to be the one providing us. Now, you say, okay, Pastor, they're just looking out for themselves. What's really wrong with that? Well, see, false authority causes problems. Wherever you find a distressed and suffering people, the cause is to be discovered finally in their rulers. Now, that's what you see in verses 2, 3, and 4. These some weird verses showing that, you know, what happens to the poor, they're oppressed. What happens to the common person, they're oppressed because of the fact that people are not in harmony with God. They love evil, they hate good, they're mastered by their selfishness. The people pass into the place, they pass this to the people of suffering and corruption. When civil rulers enrich themselves out of the office, as a result of demoralized people. When spiritual rulers are seeking higher, the people are corrupted and desolation ensues. When the moral rulers are seeking for mercy, for money, the people are degraded. Everyone else is pushed out. I don't know about you, but you can see this happening in day and time that we live in, that how people are treated. False authority exercised on behalf of the men who exercise it, when the reason why a man rules is that he may enrich himself or get gain out of his ruling, who suffers? The people. Someone has to suffer through this to line someone else's pockets. And you say, Pastor, you're just trying to preach about the day and time we live in. No, this is found here. You look through this book, you see that this is what's going on. This is what he's prophesying against. This is why the nation was so wicked and so evil, was because their leaders were so naked, the wicked and so evil. And what you have to look forward to is that is not the government of God. It is pulling off the mask of false government, but there is a coming ruler. That coming ruler is Jesus Christ. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little amongst the Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto thee that be the ruler in Israel. There is coming a day that the ruler is coming. And that's, we'll let those that had to step out, and we'll finish up here. I know some of you got ministries you need to go to. And that's, this is what we have to look forward to today. He didn't describe the administration of his words here. And it says, he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Also, he talks about in chapter number 6, I believe, this man shall be our peace. That's when we're going to have peace, is when finally this ruler comes, is when Jesus Christ returns. So that's what we had to look forward to today. It goes all the way back to the beginning. What was that first verse that we heard about? It talked about how we're supposed to live. What are we required to do? And this is what our living truth is. He hath showed thee, amidst all this corruption, amidst all this wickedness, say, Pastor, what is a guy supposed to do? Amidst all this that's going on, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. This is what God wants from you. And I know that you can't change the government by yourself. I know you can't change the spiritual leadership that's going on across this world that is headed towards liberalism, headed toward apostasy. I know you can't change the moral majority all on your own. But this is what God expects out of its believers. He wants someone that's going to live justly, someone who shows mercy, and someone who walks humbly. And so what's the living truth for today? Living truth for today is keep your eyes on the coming ruler and do those things which please him. Keep your eyes focused on God. Don't get your eyes off on what man is doing. Should we stand up and fight for what's right? Yes. But what are we supposed to do? Keep our eyes on the future ruler. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Well, I like this verse. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It means that you're not going to be entangled with the things of this world. You're not going to get the, not going to let your flesh rule you. You're not going to care as much about the things that are going on down here. The Bible puts it another way: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know, we're going to be focused on the coming ruler. We're going to be focused on Jesus Christ, and those are the things that we're going to do to please Him. We're not going to be worrying about what makes us happy. We're going to be worrying about what makes Him happy, and that's what the Bible teaches us. We're servants. A servant of God. It's not about us finding pleasure in everything for ourselves, but it's pleasing God with our lives. Let me encourage you today, when you think about the book of Micah, and I know it's probably of all the ones we heard, it's a little bit of a strange one because it deals with the corrupt leaders of the day, but I think God knew that there was going to be many governments. I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, dictatorship, whatever the different governments, if they're going away from God, sooner or later it's going to trickle down that the corruption is going to oppress the people. As it oppresses the people, then sooner or later it's going to end up for failure. God's going to punish it. God's going to judge it. And that's what happened here. And that's what in many ways is happening in our world today. We need to pray and seek God's face. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer.